Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio's People with a Purpose. I'm your host, Tom Majeure, and I have two pastors that are going to give their life story and how Christ has come into their lives. The two pastors I have with me today is Carlos Sotomayor, and he's the pastor of the Kentwood and Maranatha Spanish Church in Grand Rapids. And the other pastor I have is Charles Stark. He's the pastor of the Bad Axe, Port Sanilac, and Unionville Seventh-day Adventist Church. Thank you and welcome to our program, pastors.
Thank you so much, Tom, for having us.
Now, your lives are intertwined in certain ways. I'm going to start with Pastor Sotomayor. Did you grow up as a Christian?
I did. I was blessed to have two Christian parents. I grew up in a Seventh-day Adventist Christian home.
Okay. And Pastor Stark, what was your background, your spiritual background?
Yes, so I was raised in a divided home. My mother was a Seventh-day Adventist, or is a Seventh-day Adventist growing up, but my father was not in most of my life, and so there was a lot of different influences going on there.
I grew up from a home of two Protestants. One was a Seventh-day Adventist. The other one came up in Christian Reform, but went to a few churches, including Presbyterian and also a Baptist church. And so I have a little bit of exposure. If you hear any noise in the background, we're at a congregation where the pastors have just been with us, and that's just part of the environment. That's the way we catch up with pastors. If you want to find a pastor, you go where the pastors are at. And so we're up at Campus Abo. They have a meeting twice a year, and we have the privilege. We've been trying to do this since the camp meeting this June, and now is our opportunity. So, Pastor Carlos, would you like to start the story off?
Sure. So, I was born in the island of Puerto Rico. I was blessed, as I mentioned, to be born into a Christian home, Seventh-day Adventist home. At the age of five, we actually moved to Flint, Michigan. My dad was a physician, and he did his residency up there. And there in Flint, I had a good upbringing. I went mostly to public schools, however, and I was very much influenced by the world. Though I was growing up in the church week by week, and we had, you know, family worships every Sabbath and stuff like that, taught, you know, biblical principles. But at the same time, I had this parallel influence of the world, very strong. And that developed as I entered into the teenage years. Then when I was 15 years old, in the late 1990s, our family uprooted and moved back to Puerto Rico, but this time to the west coast of Puerto Rico.
What is the difference between where you were first on part of Puerto Rico and the west coast? You got to explain that to our listeners.
Yes, thank you. So we're from the capital of Puerto Rico, the San Juan metropolitan area. And outside of it, Puerto Rico can be quite different, you know, more laid back, smaller town feel. So we moved to the west coast, a town called Mayagüez. It's not too much of a small town, but it is different than San Juan. And my parents felt it would be a good environment for us and away from the hustle and bustle and the influences of the big city. And we could go back to, you know, where we were raised and our culture and all that, and be surrounded by more of an Adventist community, which wasn't so much so in the city of Flint for us.
So where did your experience turn when you went back to the west coast of Puerto Rico?
So unfortunately, you know, I was not converted. You know, though we went to church week by week, I was not converted, I can say. And I was just a lost kid in church, basically. I got involved in some destructive activities, like, you know, smoking and things of that sort. The music was worldly, watching a lot of movies. The language wasn't kosher. And stuff like that, if you know what I mean.
Were your parents concerned?
I'm sure they were. They weren't panicking or nothing. I think they were hoping I was going through a phase. And I certainly was.
So this is age phase. 15 to
basically, Well, we moved back when I was 15, and at the age of 17, things changed. So I was really rebellious during those years, 15 to 17, and even before 15, but yeah. Those teenage years were a little bit rough.
So have you crossed paths in your life with Pastor Charles yet?
Not yet. Well, I guess I met him around age 16 or so. I went to two academies. The first academy I went to, Adventist Academies, that's where I met him.
Is this in Puerto Rico?
In Puerto Rico,
okay.
Yes. And when I met him, we were, you know, I think both rebellious Adventist children, teenagers, both participating in destructive activities, and both on our way out of the church real fast. By God's grace, the Lord did something very special in his life at the age of 17, and that impacted me as well.
Okay, so is this where we switch and talk to Pastor Charles?
I think it's a good point, yeah.
Okay. Give us your background and...
Yes, so I was born in the state of Illinois. When I was at the age of two, I moved to a very small town in Laurelwood, Oregon. There was a large, you know, good-sized Adventist community there. There was a self-supporting academy, along with an elementary school and a church in this tiny little town. And so that's where I spent about 15 years of my life, really blessed by attending the self-supporting academies. I have to really speak highly of those and the practical skills that I carry to this day.
Explain to our listeners what a self-supporting academy is.
Yeah, so a self-supporting academy is an academy that is not owned by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's not a denominationally owned, but it is a group of Seventh-day Adventists that hold the same principles and support the church, and so they're called supporting ministry. And so that's kind of the definition of that.
Very much like Strong Tower Radio.
That's right. And so I learned a lot of great skills there as a young person. But at about the age of, and I, you know, got involved in a lot of rebellious activities. You know, I lived in a divided home. My father is probably one of my best friends in life, even to this day. But he was not a house band or a husband in the spiritual sense. Bringing the family together for worship or anything. He's really of no faith at all. But my mother is a Seventh-day Adventist, strong in the faith. And, you know, we were forced as children to go to church every Sabbath, and she tried her best to keep us in the Adventist educational institutions, although there were various times where we were in public schools. But then at the age of about 15, my mother decided that she wanted to move to the beautiful island of Puerto Rico, where she was born and raised. And so this was a very challenging time for us. Very challenging, you can imagine, for my father, who was American. And so,
did he speak Spanish fluently?
No. Uh-uh. So the plan was that he would stay there, sell the house. We would move, my mother and my brother and I, to the island of Puerto Rico, begin, you know, find a home and everything. And so we did that, and after about a year, my father came to our home in Puerto Rico, finally sold the home, and he came and let us know that they would be splitting up. And we were already in a rebellious streak in our lives at that time. Things were almost getting out of control, and this kind of tipped us over the edge, me especially. And
you didn't have... You lost an element of your life, or
yeah, you know, just the relationships that we had together as a family, the loving relationships, you know, going out to eat as a family. None of that was ever going to happen again together.
Did your dad stay in the island, or did he go back stateside?
No, he left back to the States, and so I kind of got even further invested in a lot of things, and drugs and alcohol, smoking, you know, piercing my ears, and different things. And there was a lot of discontent in our home between my mother and myself and my brother, a lot of cursing at each other in our home, various things that young people face in life today. That's kind of where we are.
So listeners, you're listening to Strong Tower Radio today's People with a Purpose, and I have Pastor Stark, and I also have Pastor Sotomayor. Where do we pick up the story next?
About this time, I started noticing something as I was, you know, watching television. I mean, we had watched television but at this point for 16 years, almost of my life. You know, our family would rent 10 movies on a weekend. And we would
That's pretty heavy.
It was very heavy. You know, we would go to the movies, and anything that would come out, we would participate in television programs and shows. It was just normal to us as a family, just like most Americans and most others. But something began happening that I started noticing something as I was watching television, and I didn't realize it, what was going on at the time. But I started seeing what I call the battle between good and evil. I recognized how they were mocking religion or faith. They were mocking the commandments of God. Whenever they would talk about committing adultery, they would laugh about it. Whenever they would talk about stealing, people would be made to look cool in these videos, in these movies. And I never cared about any of that before until this point. These things were just glaring at me in my face. They were just so clear and evident to me that there was a battle that was going on. And I started thinking that maybe the things that I was participating in were getting a little too heavy and that I needed to stop. But I noticed something that I was unable to quit of my own strength. I tried, and for a couple of weeks I would be clean from various things. But I would eventually go and hang out with my friends, Brother Carlos here and others, and I would fall again into that trap and into those addictions, and I was very weak. Well, this kept happening, and I realized that I was becoming addicted to these substances, and I wasn't able to find a way out, and I wasn't sure what to do. And one night, after having been free for maybe a couple of weeks, I decided to go hang out with some friends on top of a mountain, and we were there just talking, and they began passing around a substance. And unfortunately, I fell again that night, and I just began participating real heavily in it. And something began speaking to my heart in a way that I had never heard before. And it began, a little voice, it wasn't audible or anything, I didn't even realize it at the time, but something said, you have to say no. And it was almost like a life and death situation. You have to say no. And I couldn't say it out loud because of, you know, the peer pressure or things that were going on, but something urged me, you have to say it out loud. And so somehow I was given the strength and I said no. And immediately, it wasn't passed on to me anymore, it continued passing around the circle. And I was left out of that. And then finally something said, you have to say, let go. Let's go. You have to say, let's go. And so I said it, let's go. And immediately we got in the car. They loaded up. They took me back down the mountain to my house. And I found myself there in a room that was dark. My brother and I lived in the same room there, and he was asleep at the time. And I began asking myself this question. If God was real, If eternity is real, if heaven is real, am I going to be a part of that? And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I was a lost individual. And at that time, I didn't know much about our doctrines, even though I was a part of the church growing up my whole life. And I thought, you know, I still believed at that time in eternal hellfire. And I thought, you know, I can't even handle a match for burning in my arm just for a second. I couldn't imagine for eternity. I was afraid of demon possession, and I just was lost. I didn't know who to talk to. I just felt a sense of wretchedness about myself. And so different names popped in my mind, but it was like 11 o'clock at night at this point. And the idea came to my mind, talk to your mother. And that was a very difficult thing for me because there wasn't a very good relationship. But by somehow the Lord gave me strength. I opened that door and I said, Mom, can I talk to you for a minute? She knew immediately something was going on because we would never have any kind of serious conversation. I had never opened up my heart to anyone before. And she stopped immediately what she was doing, signaled for me to come and sit down next to her. And for 2 hours, my mother and I began to speak about God and His existence. And I shared with her my struggles in life, not all of them. And I said, Mom, I don't have strength to overcome the things. Can God help me? She said, yes. God can help you overcome anything that you have struggle with. Mom, will God forgive me for my sins? Yes, he'll forgive you for every sin. I said, Mom, there's sins that I can never tell you. Will he forgive me for those? God will forgive you for every sin that you've ever committed in your life, she said to me. For 2 hours, my mother unfolded to me the plan of salvation of Jesus Christ coming to this earth and dying for us. And for the first time, my heart was melted with the love of Jesus. And I said, Mom, can we pray together? And she said, of course. And I said, Mom, I don't know how to pray. I want you to pray, and I want to repeat the words that you say, because I want it to come from my own mouth. So we got on our knees that night together, and as we knelt down, it was as if we were in the presence of the creator of the entire universe. Like, the creator of the universe was in my home, it felt like. And I don't remember the entire prayer, but we asked for strength to overcome and for forgiveness. But I remember those words that my mom prayed, and I repeated. She said, Lord, cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. And I said, Lord, please cleanse me in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. And at that moment, she put her hand on my shoulder, and she says, don't you feel the Holy Spirit cleansing you from all unrighteousness? And it was as if from head to toe, I don't know if you've perhaps read the book Pilgrim's Progress, but in that book, a Christian was carrying this heavy burden on his back. And I was carrying these weights that I didn't even realize I was carrying. And at that very moment, it was like all of these things were lifted off of my shoulder. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt at that very moment that if Jesus were to come at that moment, if all the angels in glory and power and flaming fire were, and the sky was to just burst open and him come, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that his angels were going to come down and take me by the hand and bring me up with him. And it was a feeling that I had never experienced before. And I was excited. I was so excited. Instead of going out in the evenings to do parties or drugs, I was now going out to share with all of my friends what I had just found.
You had to tell them.
I had to. My mom tried to rip those earrings out of my ears just months before. That's kind of what I share with people. But I took them out at that moment. I said, Mom, I don't want to participate with these anymore. And God gave me victory over all of the drugs and addictions that I was facing in my life at that time. So I began witnessing and sharing with all of my friends.
That's where I come in.
And that's where Pastor Carlos comes in.
Well, I want to go to that, but I think about is that I heard that this was a one-on-one relationship with God. Your conviction, you didn't have victory into your mom, but you were one-on-one with God.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit was speaking to you at that time. Often, somebody else intervenes in that process that helps move that along. But there was something there that you were referring back to. You knew you had a boundary, so you knew what the better land was,
yes,
and you needed to get back there.
Yes.
Kind of like the prodigal. He knew what he had left behind.
Yeah.
Back to Pastor Carlos.
So my brother Charles here. So previous to his conversion experience, him and his brother would visit me frequently, almost every day. So we were neighbors, you know, and we spent a lot of time together. So once he has this conversion, I was going to a different school at the time, but I began to hear stories and about these different things that he was sharing, and he made the trash in the school play yard an altar. He threw away all his CDs and mashed them up. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And I heard about that even though I wasn't there. And then he began to come and visit me and to share with me and to witness to me. Now, he had a conversion experience. I had not. Though I did understand more about our doctrines and our teachings than he did. So he begins to learn and he begins to share with me. And I'm like, dude, I know this already. He's like, oh, you know, did you know that there's 1,000 years after Jesus comes back, we're going to be with him in the New Jerusalem? Like, yeah, I knew that. I think it's in Revelation somewhere. You know, so, but he continues to share with me, And what this is doing, it's creating this conviction in my heart, like, man, I'm lost. And Chuck and Charles was lost. We used to call him Chuck, but Charles was lost and he's been found. But I think I may still be lost. And that was a very uncomfortable feeling. And there was no peace for me, basically.
Well, so one's traveling to the other, so the light is being passed or expanded. Yes.
No, I should share that while I was in my rebellion, I never felt at home in these places where God wasn't, because I was raised in a Christian environment, Christian principles. So even before he had his conversion experience, I never had peace out in the world or sinning or in the condition that I was in. And that's an important thing that I want to point out, that my parents made it difficult for me to be lost. They made it uncomfortable for me. Though I was still making
in a good way. Okay.
I was still making choices in that direction, but because of the upbringing that I had, I couldn't just slide, you know, without any hindrance that the path to perdition. My parents, you know, they were such a blessing, and the principles they taught me, I couldn't just easily cast them out. Anyway, so he has this experience, overnight experience. It's an overnight conversion experience. You know how everybody's experience is different. Mine was a little bit different. So anyway, so the point in my mind that was the turning point was when he comes to visit me on one of those occasions, and he basically asks me a pointed question. I call it a rebuke. Okay. He says, Carlo, they call me Charlie. Charlie, you know this, but you're not doing it. Like all this stuff I'm sharing with you, you already know it, but you're not doing it. I remember that comment. I don't think he remembers it, mm-hmm. but I do. It was like an arrow to my heart. And then he was carrying on some things. Among those things that he was carrying was Steps to Christ, a book that I had seen all my life with all the different covers. And then he makes that pointed comment and he puts the Steps to Christ in my hand.
He became evangelistic.
I was heavily under conviction, Brother Tom. I read that book slowly. I soaked it in for a week.
And you know, and everything changed. Our listeners can get that book. We appreciate that so much. We will pay the postage. We will not charge our listeners anything. If you want that book,
it's a true gem, and it changed my life. The Lord used that to change my life, and that was at 17 years old. By God's grace, the direction of my life changed. Jesus became my center point, and my life has been different ever since.
So, how fast we're coming towards the end of this interview here? What is the gems that you have, either one of you or both of you? What words of wisdom do you have for our listeners?
Well, I can share for that young person who may be listening to this that isn't super excited about being a Christian or about being a Seventh-day Adventist. I want to tell you that God loves you. And if you can just surrender your heart to Him, you will find that joy that He has promised you and that purpose in your life. There's nothing out in the world that will make you happy. The devil is lying to you. Happiness is found in Christ. So surrender to Him fully. That's the best thing that I can share.
Pastor Charles, you were quite evangelistic bringing your friend, now Pastor Carlos. Do you still feel that way?
Yes, by the grace of God. You know, what I would like to share with people listening, Christians or Seventh-day Adventists, whoever, is if you want to share your faith, it doesn't take a theology degree. I was a new convert, you know, into the Christian faith. I was studying my Bible. I was spending time with Lord Jesus in the mornings in prayer. Simple things, but that just drinking from that fountain of life allowed me to bring others to that fountain as well. And so I would just encourage you, you may not have a theology degree, but if you drink from that fountain, you too can be a witness for the Lord.
You have something to share with each other. Now, I would like each of you are pastors, and I'm sure you're open to talking to anybody, maybe a young person whose story has connected with them. Will you share your contact information and how you'd be glad to help?
Sure. So I have the privilege of serving in the Grand Rapids area. I'm the pastor of the Kentwood Seventh Adventist Church and the Maranatha Spanish Seventh Adventist Church. And I'd be happy to meet anybody who would like some counsel or just prayer or just get to know them. My number is 269-753-4780. You can call me or text me, and I'd be more than happy to reach out to you. And then also, my email, it's Sotomayorriveras, SOTOMAYORRIVERA @gmail.com. Feel free to shoot me an email, and I'll be more than happy to respond, and we can connect in that way as well.
And we'll put this program on our websites and archives so that our listeners can refer to it and get that information specifically. Pastor Charles.
Yes, I also would love to talk or share or be an encouragement to anyone who would love to talk. My phone number, cell is number, area code 423-665-9155. That's 423-665-9155. You can also reach me via my email address at cstark, S-T-A-R-K, at MISDA, M-I-S-D-A, dot church. That's cstark@misda.church.
And I really appreciate both of you being a part of this program. It was recommended that we interview you, and I can see the reason. You represent people who can relate to what you're talking about, and we're hoping that some people will call you, and either on the phone or Pastor Carlos, you live in the second biggest city in the state of Michigan, so you have quite an influence and could be reaching out to you. This is Strong Tower Radio today, and I'm your host, Tom Majeur, and this is part of our series, People with a Purpose. We wish you, if you want the book that was mentioned, Steps to Christ, you can contact Strong Tower Radio at P.O. Box 567, and that's Cadillac, Michigan, 567, Cadillac, Michigan, or call us at 231-468-2087. Let me say that again, 231-468-2087, or you can go on our website at info@strongtowerradio.org and request the book, Steps to Christ. This is another Strong Tower Radio Network production. God bless.